We believe in these tires so much, we put them on our own vehicles. So stop by Royal Tire today and let our tire experts find the right Michelin tire to keep you and your family safe. When you think tires, think Royal Tire in Petoskey.
Under attack, time has come, we're gonna take it back. Just go wait and see, don't tread on me. I won't sit back, stand idly by, watch the heart of my nation die. Oh, not me, don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible, don't tread on my guts. Don't you tread on my faith in God's only son. Don't tread on me, don't tread on me. Don't tread on me. The time has come, gonna take a stand. Spread these words all across the land, from sea to sea. Don't tread on me. So tell your neighbors, tell all your friends, gonna see that eagle flying high again. You better believe, don't tread on me. Tread on my guns, don't you tread on my freedom, God's only son. Don't tread on me, don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free, and I'll damn sure fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Yeah, I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me.
Back into the show. This is Tuesday, July 30th, 2024 edition of Your Defending Fathers with Trucker Randy Bishop here on the Patriot Voice Radio Network. Joining us in this segment every Tuesday is Ian Murphy, the owner of the Iron Pig Smokehouse there in downtown Gaylord. Good morning, Ian.
Good morning, Trucker Randy.
Hey, I want to thank you, man, so much for all the work that you did for providing the smoke pork there for our event on Saturday. People loved it. They said, man, it was awesome. And a couple of them came up to me. I don't know if they came up to you or not. But they said, man, if this is the kind of pork he serves over there at the Iron Pig, we are definitely going to make it one of our stopping places when we go to Gaylord. They'd never eaten your food before. I had people from Crawford County, Masaukee, a few other places, believe it or not, said they'd never been to the Iron Pig. But based on your performance and hard work, they're definitely going to make you a stopping place over there in Gaylord.
Well, I love to hear that, and I will say that our pulled pork sandwich is our number one seller for 7 years straight now. So picked a good one to have there for the event, and I was grateful that I got to be a part of it.
Yeah, and the other thing that a lot of people commented after you left, and by the way, I have an entire carrot cake for you and your family. This is not to go into the restaurant. This is supposed to be for you and your family, your dad. I want you guys to have this one. So next time I'm in Gaylord here, I've got it in the refrigerator, and I'm going to get it to you here in the next couple days. Because you were busy. You had to get back to the restaurant and unfortunately didn't get to stay for the carrot cake, but we have one for you. I just wanted to let you know that.
Sounds good.
I don't know if Dad likes carrot cake, but he's going to taste mine, that's for sure. Let me ask you this question. When you recanted the story, when I asked you to explain to the folks what the Iron Pig had been through, what the state of Michigan had tried to do to you, you laid it out so well. I mean, it was a great living history of what actually happened to you in the business. But you hadn't done that in a while. You hadn't done a full going all the way backing the bus up like that. And I've got to tell you, man, a lot of people totally have a newfound respect for you and the pig and what you guys have been doing in this fight. But it was kind of a trip down memory lane for you.
Yeah, it is. And you're right. I haven't really done a full recap like that. And I always kind of joke, sometimes it's hard because, you know, the story isn't finished. Usually when you tell a story, there's a beginning, a middle, and an end.
Right.
And this is a story that doesn't have an end yet. So I kind of have to tailor the story a little bit, you know, to the audience that I'm talking to. And, of course, a great group of Patriots like you had there the other day is completely interested in the entire thing. So I kind of had to, you know, I could have been there for 3 hours talking about this stuff.
But, right, exactly.
You know, you don't want to lose people, especially after they just got done eating and they want to move on and hear, you know, more important people than me talk. But it is important.
Oh, no.
And I do know
you did
that
great.
That there are people that still don't know the entire, they don't know that they threatened me with jail at 10:30 at night, you know, from all the way down in Lansing. People don't really know some of those fine details. But I'm always excited to retell the story because there's always bits and pieces that I do kind of forget. And then when I'm retelling it, all of a sudden, you know, I'll remember something like the email threatening me with jail time from the judge's clerk down in Lansing.
Yeah.
So when I do get to retell the story, I do recall things that I have forgotten. And I always love it when people ask questions, too.
Yeah, it was great. Well, one of the things that we're going to talk about in the next segment is the process. We want to get into the process for those who weren't at the event and listening on the radio this morning on the Patriot Voice Radio Network. We're going to get you all that into the process that Ian was talking about on Saturday. Short break, a word from our sponsors. We'll be right back.
The Sioux Animal Hospital in Sault Ste. Marie has been in the same location for 35 years. The owner, Dr. Jeff, specializes in providing all aspects of care for your animals. From annual shots to complicated bone and soft tissue surgeries, Dr. Jeff can take care of any animal. So call him today at 906-635-5910. From dogs and cats to cows and horses, Dr. Jeff loves them all. So give him a call at 906-635-5910.
Hey Patriots, Veteran John here in Sheboygan. Taste the purest artesian water on God's green earth. MAGA water. PFAS-free, mineral-rich, naturally alkaline, 8.3 pH, veteran-owned. Go to MAGAwater.com or call 231-818-9700. That's MAGAwater.com or call 231-818-9700. Call us today to taste the pure difference.
Trucker Randy here. Let's face it, we're all getting older, but we don't have to feel the pains of getting older. Most people and even our pets have daily pain. Don't let pain slow you down. Get natural relief with CBD products from Patriots Relief. Designed by nature and trusted by millions, CBD synergistically works with your body to naturally relieve pain along with many other benefits. CBD is not marijuana and you will not get high. Vicky and I trust Patriots Relief products because they truly work. Go to their website, patriotsrelief.com, then call Tim and his family at 877-230-1776. Mention the promo code TR1 to get the biggest discounts. Again, call 877-230-1776 and mention TR1. Patriotsrelief.com.
My name is Todd Spalper. I'm running to be your state representative in the 106th District. One of the reasons that I am running is because our current public education system is failing our children. I support real, common sense policies and approaches to education and the safety of our children. All parents have a right to decide on their children's education, not the government or unions. I will fight to ensure that. After all, they are our most precious resources we have, and they are worth the fight. Vote for me, Todd Smallenberg, electsmallenberg.com. Paid for by Todd Smallenberg for state rep.
Folks out there that own firearms are looking to buy a new or used gun or fix up that old piece at a good price, there's Curtis Gunsmithing. Not too far off the beaten path at 9996 Picker Lake Road in Petoskey, Mr. Tom Curtis is an AGI-certified gunsmith and firearm connoisseur. Don't send your gun out or travel far away for your specialized gun work. You have a friend in your own backyard. Call Curtis Gunsmithing today, 231-347-3487.
Hey, everybody, welcome back. Staying through the break is Ian Murphy over at the Iron Pig Smokehouse there in Gaylord. Ian, I want to talk about the process as you retold the story, relived it basically, and Saturday when you were talking to the folks. And again, you know, we spoke for about, I believe it was 15, 20 minutes up there. You could have talked for 3 hours. But as it made you remember and go through the process, you've come a long way in this battle since we started this process back in what, February, March of 2020. Ian, are you there?
Did I lose you?
Yeah, okay. I didn't know if you heard me or not. I said, based on Saturday, what you said in retelling the story, mm-hmm. you basically relived it, and you've actually, going back to February, March of 2020, when this all started, the China virus, the pandemic, the lockdowns and all that, it's been an absolute unbelievable process for you.
Yeah, it's been... Yeah, I mean, we're coming up on 4 years this fall, right? So November is really when we entered the game. March and April, you know, I always kind of joke, we, quote, did the right thing, even though, you know, the rules for curbing, you know, the deadliest pandemic in my lifetime were sneeze into your elbow, don't pick your nose, don't put your fingers in your eyes, wash your hands for the length of a Dave Matthews song. These things were just, to me, I saw them and I'm like, this is silly. It's one or the other. Either it's the most deadly thing ever or it's something we're going to wipe our nose about. And to me, it just didn't add up. But, you know, the societal and peer pressure, you know, we did the right thing, as they say, and closed down. But the fall just wasn't, you know, just wasn't the same. And that ultimately is what, you know, made me decide that something ain't right here. And we've got to push back because... nobody else is. And we did a podcast yesterday with my good friend Drew Spanning, and he is a very faith-based person. I love getting his point of view on certain things. And one of his big disappointments was that many of the churches just sat back idly by, and he's always expressed to me, boy, I wish more of our pastors and preachers and churches had done what you had done, because we always talk about restaurants, bars, and churches are the gathering places for our communities. And that was part of the reason why we stayed open. And going through this whole thing and reiterating the story over and over again, like I say, I always kind of forget some of these small, intricate details that played such a big, big role in everything that happened. And maybe someday... you know, we'll get to tell it in its entirety, maybe either through a book or maybe a documentary. We've loosely been putting one together for the last couple of years. But like I said, this story isn't finished yet. So it's kind of hard to, you know, put a period on something that is still ongoing.
Now, based on the process, and you touched on this briefly there at the event on Saturday, where do you see this going? If you could look into a crystal ball, if you will, and see how this is going to play out, what type of timeline are we looking at when you think this might come to a conclusion?
That's a great question. I see it probably being at least probably another year. It really depends on if our bypass application is accepted by the Michigan Supreme Court or not. Because that will jump right over the Court of Appeals if they do. I don't necessarily see them doing so. So that means we're on the docket with the Court of Appeals. So I would like to think that we will get before the Court of Appeals before the end of this year. So that's step one. And then depending on that outcome, the Michigan Supreme Court would be the next step. Now, it would just be, in my opinion, it will probably be the health department that would be appealing that up to the Michigan Supreme Court. But either way, we want the final approval of the Michigan Supreme Court. That's what we want. We want them to say that these laws, specifically the health laws, are so ambiguous that the legislature now needs to go back and rewrite some of these laws, like the speed limit, with a little bit more specificity to them, so as not to be so ambiguous that any peon, if you will, health director around the state can put masks on kids at school for absolutely no reason. And it's an unelected official that's doing so. And we just want to bring back what our founding fathers had intended, and that was the original separation of powers. And it's really right. literally that simple.
Well, in that process you just described, you know, so much has happened since the founding fathers and following the Constitution, and those words have meaning, that we have stacked, you know, law after law after mm-hmm. law that has just completely gotten so far away from original intent, is what I call it. What did mm-hmm. the founding fathers' original intent mean when they wrote the Constitution, limited government, you know, not giving the power to the government reserved by the people in the state? We've gotten so far away from that, Ian, that it's almost like you single-handedly are almost doing a reset on decades and decades, if not hundreds of years, of laws that have been forced on us, the people of the state of Michigan.
I would love to be able to take credit for something like that, but what I will say is that we have been watching several cases from the Supreme Court, the federal Supreme Court, and they have been indicating for several years now that they plan to curb the amount of power that these executive branch agencies have. And a lot of rulings have come out in the last couple of weeks doing exactly that, and that plays right into our hand in order for us to take these cases further. We now have federal guideline, if you will, from SCOTUS saying, listen, these executive branch agencies at the federal level have way too much power. Separation of powers is a very real thing, and it has been blended between the executive branch and the legislative branch for the better part of 70 years now, specifically because of the Chevron decision back in the mid-80s, I think it was 82, 83.
Right.
That allowed legislators to pass these laws like limit the gathering of people for any purpose, right? There's no specificity in it. And our founding fathers knew every time a law is written, it curbs liberties. So they wanted it to be an arduous process, and they needed it to be specific in those laws. And what the Chevron decision way back in the 80s really did was said, the legislature can write these ambiguous laws, and then it'll be up to the administrative agency, the EPA, for example, to say, this carbon emission at this level is dangerous, and it's going to kill everybody in the next 50 years, so we need to do something to curb that. And this is actually real. This has happened. A case 2 years ago, SCOTUS knocked down the EPA doing some things exactly like that. So we're just following what the Supreme Court has signaled for several years that they want to do, and in my opinion, needs to be done. Because when we look at everything that is sort of wrong with the United States right now, it is because the executive branch has, I mean, look at what Joe Biden just tried to do yesterday. Put term limits on the Supreme Court, a code of ethics. I mean, all of these things cannot just be done by the president's pen, right? All of these people that think that these things are a good idea need to go back and read what exactly the separation of powers is and does, because it applies nearly to all 50 states. And here in Michigan, it goes even one step further and specifically vests all three branches with the very specific power. And nowhere in Michigan's Constitution does it say that one branch can delegate that power to another. And that's exactly what they've done with the health department in 2020 when they knocked down the executive orders. And in fact, they just did it again 3 weeks ago with the extraordinary emergency powers that the governor then gave to the director of MDARD, who I am familiar with, because of the H1N1 bird flu virus or whatever it is in dairy cattle here in Michigan.
Sure.
So
in that process, though, what you're describing is how far these tentacles have gone,
yes,
extended out into these executive branch, unelected, declaratory rulings that they've tried to enforce on us and the people as basically passed laws by a legislature signed by a governor into law. That's not the case.
That's exactly right. These are people that are appointed to these positions. The director of the health department here in Michigan is an appointee, right? They're not beholden to anybody but the person that has appointed them. That is one of the biggest issues that we have. Even at the most local level here in Gaylord, we had to oust our local health director because she, on her own, put masks back on school kids in 2021 that caused a slew of lawsuits. That's what we want, is we want people in positions of power to be held accountable to their electorate. That's how our founding fathers had intended it. That's our ultimate goal, is to bring a little bit of sanity and power back to the people's vote again.
Well, you know, one thing I sit here and I look at the timing of all this. You know, as a person of faith, you know, I believe God has his hands in all of this. The Supreme Court decision, the Chevron case, and the other case that you mentioned, along with your lawsuit in Michigan, and Michigan being seen as a swing state, potentially being the decider as to who gets to be president, you know, November 5th election. The timing of all this is just incredible.
It's absolutely unreal. And I'll tell you, Randy, when we started doing this 4 years ago, absolutely none of this was on the radar. The only thing I was trying to do was keep my restaurant open so people could come in, spend money, so I could pay my employees for Thanksgiving and Christmas and keep the damn lights on. That was it. Had nothing to do with non-delegation or separation of powers or the emergency powers of the governor. None of that nonsense. Had absolutely nothing. Now, risk it for the brisket had never even been thought of at that point. It was a simple decision. A tipping point had been reached where I said, enough is enough. I'm not going to comply anymore. And you're going to have to come and you're going to have to shackle my doors, or you're going to have to arrest me to stop me from doing this. And they did all of that except put me in jail. They threatened me with it, but I said, you know what? I can't run my business from jail. And that was the whole point, was to get my employees paid. And if I'm in jail, like Marlena was, her employees didn't get paid. Yeah. I appreciate Marlena, but when she went to jail, her restaurant closed for the better part of, I think, 9 months almost.
Yeah, so almost, yeah.
That just wasn't going to work for me.
Well, luckily, they saw the light and didn't put you in jail, but they've created a major problem for themselves, and now, because of your victorious decision with Hunter originally, challenging these other laws, these other statutes that you're going for now, they've basically, they woke up a sleeping giant, is the way I look at it.
That's right. And if there's anything else that we are going to attempt to do, it's to create a path forward, a roadmap, if you will, for anybody that finds themselves in administrative proceedings where the state is trying to tip the scales in their favor. We now have the arguments and the tools to be able to combat the DNR, Eagle, the Attorney General's Office, MDCR, Civil Rights, any of these executive branch agencies that are trying to come in and knock down the little guy, even the big guy, honestly. It doesn't matter if you're a large corporation or a small corporation. The power of the state has now been removed because of the Chevron decision. And the other one people need to look at is Jarkasi, yep. Right? Yep. That's now a jury trial. I could have got a jury trial in my liquor commission hearing. That's how awesome these rulings are.
Well, I got Jeff's telling me he doesn't ever eat pork. He said, but that was the best pork he's ever eaten, and he's going to come to the restaurant. So
love it.
Iron Pig in downtown Gaylord. Thank you so much, Ian, for what you did for us on Saturday, and we'll talk to you next week.
You got it, brother. Thank you.
Bottom of the hour news break. We'll be right back.
This is Michigan News Source, your award-winning news team, covering the big stories that affect you across Michigan and throughout the region.
From Michigan News Source, I'm Cheryl Fritz. Our top story this hour, the average gas price in Michigan hit a high for the year at $3.81 per gallon on Friday, which could become an issue in the 2024 presidential election season.